In this episode, I'm a slow warmer, Mike rage quits 3 games, Samantha knows what's going on, and JJ plots his revenge with kittens. This is episode 85. So what were you going to say, JJ?
Oh, no, nothing. I'm good. No, I'm good.
Okay. Well, I was potentially going to be using your conversation for the start of Fun Sphere Game Club. Hi, I'm Josh.
I'm Mael.
Okay.
I'm still learning new technology.
We didn't introduce ourselves.
We did not. We jumped right in. Yeah. It's because I was so scared, Samantha. I had to just get going. I couldn't wait. I had to get this out of me because it was such a terrible, scary film. Michael, would you mind to introduce yourself?
This is a terrifying behind-the-scenes photo.
Oh, why would you show me that?
Actually, I did like that the lion was more like a lion and not just a dude walking around.
The lion was like a, I don't know. He kind of reminds me of a Neverending Story.
Yeah, it's like
yes.
Oh, I wish I could hug him.
Fully committed to the head, but the rest, nah, just wear something.
Yeah, exactly. Especially like when
Derpy lion.
I'll have to put this in the previous episode now.
I don't know why Scarecrow is the king, by the way. I wouldn't trust him to rule shit.
No, he doesn't have a brain.
He's stupid. Anyway.
It's current politics.
I mean, it explains why the place went the way it did.
Well, we typically talk about games here on Fun Sphere Game Club, but I guess we're having a little
bit. Is that right?
We do, yeah. We mention games that we enjoy and play, and then even sometimes we talk about news involving video games. What do you guys say? You want to try that? Maybe we could do that? That might be fun.
No, yes. I'm done.
Okay, great. tell you what, JJ, why don't you tell us what you've been playing recently?
So, I've been playing a mobile game, and this is because I did not win with Exploding Kittens against you all. So I've been working on that for the last two weeks, whatever now, so I can get a win under my belt.
They have a mobile game?
But yeah, I was going to actually...
How?
Sorry. It's strategy. I'm trying to figure this out. I was actually going to gift y'all. The game's like $5. I was going to gift it to all of y'all. It's like, see you soon. But I wasn't ready to lose again. So I've just been playing online against other people and still doing bad. But I'm going to beat you all.
How does it prepare you for the master deceptors in real life?
You can't
see their faces.
You can't see their faces, but you do have little icons, little funny things, and you can chat, kind of like what we're doing with this Discord.
So JJ, I gotta ask, how do you strategize for how petty that we are amongst ourselves? I mean, literally. I don't think there was much strategy except for Mike just fucked me over, so I will do.
Yeah, you slighted me once,
yes.
So I went revenge hard.
Yeah. So I kind of pick one character that I'm really going to bully, and it always backfires because I liked what Mike did to you and what you did to Mike. So I kind of like that. Yeah. So I'm just trying to pick someone when I play just to really ruin their day, but they always get me back. So it's not quite working. Yeah. So that's what I've been doing the last few weeks. So it's not really exciting on my part. I was waiting to hear what Samantha's playing and go from there and see if I'm going to buy the game because it's in my cart as we speak, along with Indiana Jones.
If you had an Xbox, you could be playing for free.
Both of them, right?
Yes. Oh. Well, I don't know about the other game. I think it's
no. Clay, I downloaded it.
Oh, is it? Okay, cool. I gotta know that now. I'll tell you what, though. I will. I'll segue real quick since Mike mentioned if you owned an Xbox. Did you guys catch the news about what they did yesterday or 2 days ago? Yep.
I mean, Sony's doing it too.
Yes, yes, but Microsoft is like full in on like, guess what, guys? All of our products are going up in prices. Everything, especially a bold strategy, especially with how much of the gaming real estate they have ceded.
Is it because of the tariffs?
That is their explanation. Well, Josh is always looking behind the screen, if you will, at the decision of the business decision. And
Josh says, pull back that curtain.
That's right.
I thought he was talking about JJ because he's a Josh.
Yes. I think, honestly, this is their strategy. You know, I've been noted saying that I believe they want to have Game Pass come to both of their competitors. Right? They've started to release their games on the other systems. Eventually, I think that they want to get out of the console business and exclusively into the software business and have their service.
It would explain why they buy up. They spent the past couple of years buying up game developers.
Certainly would. And I think that by them steering into the tariffs and using it as an excuse to raise the prices on their system, it's going to make even more people adopt their competitors' technology, and you know they make a couple bucks off of the last systems they sell, but it's just we're just again not making a decision to support our hardware anymore because we don't really have any kind of advantages there anymore. So it's honestly just an extra expense at this point. And we could make conceivably as much money by eventually bringing our service to things like Steam, to things like, think about that. The Steam Deck, they could bring it to both Sony and Nintendo because they've been perfectly fine with letting both of their games go to their competitors, which in the traditional sense, if you were playing by the old rules, you'd be like, no, this is an exclusive for our system, so you buy our system. But they, like I said, I think that since they lost so much ground since the 360 days, that they know it's a moot point to try to get back into the console war as heavily as they have. So they're just like, yeah. Sorry, our prices are going up on everything. Microsoft's also the company that can be like, yeah, we can lose millions off the hardware. It's no big deal to us.
Well, if they don't plan on making another one. So it's like,
exactly.
Sweeten the deal, raise the price, and say, but at this value, you can get all of our games and be able to stream them. So
correct.
Yeah, just establish that value early. So it's not a bad move. I'm not mad at them. I just want them to hurry up with this process. Just let me have it on my PlayStation.
I want them to be honest about it is the biggest thing for me. It's because we all can kind of see it. Now, Samantha, of course, rolls her eyes and head about why would a corporation ever tell you the truth? But, I mean, when it's we all see the writing on the wall. Just get to it. You know, quit treating us like we're morons. We're idiots, not morons.
Okay? Yeah. Some of us have.
I just don't see how they would do Game Pass for all of the different platforms if they're not all going to be of the same quality. Like, my first question would be, like, if they're going to put it on the Switch 2, is the Switch 2 going to be powerful enough to run all the games? And if not, how do you structure, like, oh, well, the Switch 2 has their own version of Game Pass, or do they just block off certain games?
Well, your hardware is not going to be running it, right? You're going to be streaming at that point.
That's correct.
God, that would be awful, though.
Yeah, it's going to be server based. It's going to be what was that system Google had for a little while? They were testing essentially.
Yeah, and you had to buy the games to be able to stream them anywhere, and that didn't go over well.
Yeah. Nope.
Oh, what was
but
the name
that
of
was
that?
But the idea was Stadia.
Yeah,
Stadia, yeah. But the idea behind that is, you know, you're going to stream off of a server. So all basically they would have, Mike, is you're going to pay Microsoft directly, and you're going to have an app on there, just like you have with like Spotify or something. You know, it's just a supported app for streaming. It's like Netflix or something. That's how it'll work.
Yeah, but the problem with that, the long-term strategy behind that would be, all right, if this is successful for Xbox and you can start streaming just directly from your TV,
yep.
When is PlayStation going to do that? And then how much are we willing to spend per month for access to all these games? I don't know how much the Game Pass is, but is $30 too expensive for like three different systems if that's the case? Or at least exclusives, because then you're only going to want your Spider-Mans, and the only way to play it is to be a part of their subscription.
Yeah, I think it's like everything else, like every other streaming service, it's going to be what you personally find it to be worth. I would say, for example, like let's just say that both companies had it available. I would say I would buy Sony's hardware, and I would buy access to Microsoft's online stuff. Because I don't find that Sony's online offerings are anywhere near as competitive as Microsoft's are.
Right.
Now, I have the basic tier where I can get the free games and play online if I want to for like $9 a month. So I would be fine paying Sony that and then getting their exclusive games and still having access to Microsoft stuff via their app. And I think actually even Microsoft a year ago or 2 years ago maybe was partnering with a TV company to put that exact idea, basically you just sync your controller to your television and you play from there. You know, I'm still going to have it because I have backwards compatibility issues and stuff like that. I have old hardware to keep and play, so I'll always have that. But yeah, going forward, if that was, let's just say the PlayStation 6 was announced and the Xbox, I don't know what they would call it at this point.
They've really fucked up their naming conventions.
They really have. We'll just call it the next box. They offer the next box. But they're like, guess what? We offer the next box and Game Pass is coming to all of our competitors. Then I'm just going to buy your competitor and get Game Pass. I'm not going to bother to buy your next hardware. But you know what? Maybe they're like, you know what else you got to do? You got to buy a controller. Nintendo won't let us map properly, so you have to buy an Xbox controller. It still syncs to your Nintendo, but you know, you still got to play with our controller. So they get.
I would probably do that anyway, just because that's my preferred controller.
Yeah,
that's what I wouldn't want from like having to go to Sony.
Mm-hmm.
Is
their controller?
I would miss the Xbox controller.
Well, I mean, they've both adapted, I think, Blu-ray technology into all their systems. I think Nintendo is still the only one that's not Bluetoothing their controllers and stuff.
No, it's a Bluetooth controller.
Is it? The new one?
The Pro? Yeah.
Oh, no. I'm talking about like the, like you can't Bluetooth headphones into it or anything like that.
I think they released an update that Bluetooth headsets.
Yeah, I can use my cheap earbuds on them.
Sweet. The more you know. I found something out today. Great. Thanks for letting me know, guys.
It did take them several years to do it.
Okay. Yeah, it definitely did. Because they were trying to sell you the Sony branded ones that just automatically connect with their Bluetooth. Okay. Let's see here. You know what? Since JJ also mentioned that he's very interested in hearing Samantha's sales pitch, as am I. Samantha, would you mind to tell us what game you've been playing?
I've been playing Clair Obscur Expedition 33 by Sandfall Interactive or Entertainment. I think Interactive. Let me look.
Have you gotten far enough into it that you understand what Clair Obscur part is? I get the Expedition 33, but what the hell is Clair Obscur?
I am in the end game. I'm in Act 3. I'm basically at the end of this game. So as for the Clair Obscur part, there's a song near the very end of the game where the opera singer says Clair Obscur a bunch of times.
Huh.
Hold on. What is Clair Obscur? I never even looked up what that means.
I just assumed because it was French, Mike. clearly. That's just the title was like, well, they're French. They got to do something.
It's just such a not fun name to say.
No one says the full name.
No.
So I did start the game.
Okay.
I haven't gotten very far in it, but it does seem cool. I don't know why, but it reminds me of Final Fantasy VIII, and I like
maybe
that it does, because that's my favorite one.
It reminds me a little bit of, especially once you start your expedition, it reminds me a little bit of Paradise Killer, a lot of Final Fantasy games, kind of Final Fantasy 13 story-wise a little bit, and kind of the battle system, too.
Is there a lot of reading like in Final Fantasy 13, though? Because I am still confused by that story.
No, there's not a lot of reading. Even like when you find journals, they have like voiceover reading. Kind of like how Horizon, when you find like logs, you would hear the audio. So it's similar to that. Yeah, it reminds me a little bit of Horizon. I thought it was a JRPG when I started. I didn't realize it was made by a French company. Charlie Cox is Gustav, your main character. Shadowheart is the other main character, which is a little distracting. And the fact that Gustav looks so much like Robert Pattinson was really distracting at first, because he's not him. It's Daredevil. But I'm really far, and I really don't want to give anything away about the story, because it's just better to experience it. The turn-based battle system is fine, like you're used to it from old RPGs and stuff. It's kind of fun sometimes. I've been playing on story mode, and it's kind of difficult anyway, so I cannot imagine any harder difficulty settings, especially later in the game. Like, I can't imagine it. But the characters are all really good, and I don't know, you're not very far, Mike, but like at first I was like, it was cool. I was intrigued by the idea and the world. Like, what happened here? Like, what's going on? Blah, blah, blah. Like, it looks so cool. But especially as you go on, you see, like, it's so well written. Like, the dialogue is great. All the characters feel realistic, in quotes. Like, it's easy to like all of them. And their banter is good. It doesn't feel forced. It's just great. And like, I didn't realize at first that it was technically an indie game, which is why it's only $50. So I thought maybe it was going to be short. It's only $50, but definitely isn't. I said before we started recording that I got it last week, and I spent Saturday and Sunday, and I think I played 13 hours both days, and then I've just still been playing throughout the week. So I've been like marathoning it. And now I'm at like the part before like the very end, where you can just like, where everything's finally unlocked, so you just go around and do everything you can before doing what you're supposed to do to end the game.
Okay, so let me just say, just as a rough estimate, so you got maybe, let's say, a solid 40 hours in with the game. Would that be right?
Yeah.
Or less? Okay.
Probably about 40 hours, because I have played for like a couple hours every day after the weekend.
Okay. Well, I mean, if you know, based on a JRPG, that's still pretty light in the hours department, especially like if it doesn't force you to grind and stuff like that.
Yeah, I think it might also be me playing on story mode.
Hmm.
So it's okay. Like a little bit, and you know, I had like one really long battle toward the end, like an optional battle to unlock some cosmetics, and that like wore me out, so I just kind of ran straight to the boss. And because I thought I was like right at the end, it goes longer than you think. Andy Serkis is also in it, and Clive from Final Fantasy 16. It's a good cast. I like it. I really like the characters. There's like these little dudes that I thought were gonna be annoying as hell, but they're really funny and charming. I think it's a great game. I bought it instead of Oblivion Remaster. I've never played Oblivion, and I was looking at Oblivion. I'm like, I'm gonna play this like I play Fallout, which is just silly. Then I heard about this game, and I was like, this looks so cool. Like, what is it? Like, what is the story? Is it spooky? It's a little bit spooky, but not really. And then the music's great. It's funny because the overworld theme, the piano part of it sounds exactly like the Severance theme song. So when you hear it, if you buy it and play it, you'll know what I mean.
Mike, would you concur with that? Does that sound?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's I couldn't unhear it once I did.
God, that's. I loved Severance, but that freaking theme gets overplayed so much in that show.
Well, now you'll hear it a lot.
At least 40 hours worth.
Only on the continent. And the environments are all really cool. All the different maps, they look awesome.
Like the disintegrating Paris.
Yeah, disintegrating Paris is awesome. And then once you're on like the continent and stuff, it's like all the different biomes or whatever, they're all so cool. And there's so much to see. I wish that you could. I get so annoyed because you don't have a ton of mobility when you're just walking around. I wish that you could climb on more things or jump on more things, but you can't. So exploration's a little bit limited, but there is a lot to look at. And it's not like you can't walk anywhere. There are places you can go. It's just like you can't. It looks like Horizon or whatever, like you should be able to just climb up this mountain or whatever, but you can't. It's more RPG-y.
I think that's something interesting that modern games have done is we now have so many games that are just fun to like kind of walk around and explore and just view the scenery and stuff like that. I mentioned that back when I was playing Elden Ring. I was like, some of my favorite stuff is just honestly just riding around and looking at the scenery. And, you know, you said this one's got interesting thing, scenery. The game I played has interesting scenery. It's so much, especially like when you look back at the games you grew up playing and it's like, if you showed that to yourself as a kid, your head would have exploded.
Oh, yeah.
Because you're like, there's no way a video game could ever be like that. You're like, that's real life. That's a movie. You're showing me a movie. It's not a game.
Oh, yeah.
I saw on Reddit the other day, somebody did a side-by-side comparison of Flight Simulator.
Yeah, I saw that too.
Them taking off from Milan with the actual footage. And it, like, even down to the airstrips, like, the lines are moving exactly the same.
The only difference, I think, was like, the shrubs and trees in the background.
Because they're procedurally generated, I think.
Yeah.
But it still pulls all the map data, so everything else is, like, hyper accurate.
Yeah.
It's nuts.
It's crazy.
Okay.
Anyway, yeah, I recommend it 100 bajillion%. It's really fun. Just the cutscenes, the interactions are great. I love the environments. There's lots of cosmetics you can unlock, which is fun always. Characters are really good. Their battle, like, they all have different, like, the part, when you get your full party, like, they're all different enough, and, like, I have my three that I like, but then, you know, they have, like a Kimari type guy, like a blue mage type.
Gotcha.
And then, like, you're just normal DPS, a mage, and, like, a tanky guy. Yeah, it's really good. It's really, really good. Sometimes the frames drop in some cutscenes, which I just will attribute to it being, you know, like a smaller company. They've already put out like a patch, and they have said that they want to do DLC because, I mean, it's been
they
such
can
a
make
success.
Some money.
Yeah. I'll support it. I'll buy it. I don't care. I would love more stuff in this world, and I'm not even completely done with it yet. But I do know what is happening now.
Okay.
And my theory, it was fun not knowing because usually I don't care about spoilers, but it was fun like changing my theories every time I got more information and then seeing what I was right about, and they would like drastically change from like one area to the next because you'd get like a little nugget. Like, maybe it's this. And you can't sell anything. That's a little annoying. You can buy stuff, but you cannot sell anything as far as I've seen. So, but you find so much money, it's almost not, there's like no point. It's just there's a lot of stuff in your inventory that you don't use, and you're like, I don't want this anymore.
Okay, so I guess next time you'll maybe let us know if it sticks the landing for the game. You played anything else?
Oh, Overwatch Stadium came out.
Okay. What's that? I'm unfamiliar.
So it's a new mode in Overwatch 2 that has been. It's crazy popular. It's making up, they said, 50% of playtime overall.
Oh.
So like the other 50% is shared between regular comp, quick play, and everything else. And it's cool. It's like they only have a limited amount of characters right now, which is why I haven't been playing it as much. But all my friends came back to Overwatch, and when they play, I play Stadium with them. But none of my mains are in it yet, so it's kind of like, I mean, there's characters I play a lot in it, but none of my favorite people to play are in it yet. So
okay,
but you basically, it's just like best out of 7 rounds, and then there's a mercy rule where if like you're like totally stomping the other team, it ends after 3 rounds. And you do different builds basically. So there's like perks you can unlock, powers. Every other level you up to level 7, you get to add. And then you earn cash, and there's like items you can buy to unlock new abilities for your characters. And there's bounties on the team, on the other team, if they're doing really well, and you get more money if you kill them. And then MVP gets extra money. So it's just like different builds for different for heroes that you're used to playing, and you can switch between first or third person. But I've been doing first, cause that's what I'm used to.
Okay. Was this a response to like a competitor that they came out with this?
They say they've been working on this for a long time, but it probably has a little bit to do with Marvel Rivals, but it's not the same as Marvel Rivals, except for that you can play in third person if you want. I don't know. It worked.
Okay. That's cool. And you say that was Overwatch Arena? Was that?
Stadium.
Stadium. Okay.
Yeah. People are loving it. Yeah. All my friends came back. And they've just been like.
Did you see that rumor about Blizzard is supposedly teaming up with a mobile developer and that's going to be the third game?
They are putting out a MOBA. A mobile game, an Overwatch MOBA, but I don't know, but I'm not really into MOBAs.
I think what surprised people is that internally they're talking about it as if it's going to be the third
Overwatch
game,
3.
Not like a offshoot.
That's weird. I don't know. I know I knew about the mobile game, but I don't think I'll play it unless they are putting out canon character lore. There's like no reason to play that for me. But that's.
I just don't. Yeah, I don't see how people do those with a touch screen.
Yeah.
And not a physical controller.
I guess because it's a MOBA and you just kind of like tell them where to go, and then select attacks. It's different than like a shooter.
You don't need the fine controls, I guess.
No, you just like you just tell your mob where to go.
Yeah, I think it's interesting. I think another piece of news that I saw this past week that really hurt my heart was that EA was cutting jobs at Respawn, and supposedly they killed a Titanfall project. Yeah, you know, we've only been begging for Titanfall 3 for years, and they're like, yeah, no, you can't have it. You absolutely can't. That's... There's been so many weird decisions by companies right now involving games. I mean, because of the economics that we're living in at the moment, I'm sure that's a lot of it, but it's just so weird, especially with, you know, it's not like video games have stopped becoming popular or anything like that, or people are playing less, they're playing more, but it's, I don't know, I guess just the market's too volatile at the moment to green light all these projects that people would totally be into. Oh. Okay.
It seems development times. I can't wrap my brain around how things, like, if you think about how technology has made everything easier, you would think the same principles would apply to game development. Like, they're using these engines where you're not having to make a game from scratch anymore. You're using all these pre-made assets. Everything rolls over from one game to the next. It should be so much more automated of a process than it is. So how do you have like 500-600 person teams making a game for close to a decade?
Yeah.
I guess we're talking...
When everything is easier now than it has ever been.
Well, I guess we're talking about the big news then.
It's not just that.
Yeah, but it's
everything takes fucking forever. Like Elder Scrolls 6.
Yes, that's true. Very true. So yeah, I guess we'll just go ahead and let the badger out of the bag and mention that yes, we called it here. GTA 6 has been moved back 1 year and like 20 something days to May 26th, 2026. Hmm. And like Mike mentioned, to the surprise of no one and to the relief of many other competitors, they're like, oh, thank goodness. Thank goodness. I don't think any of us were surprised. Apparently nobody in the industry was all that surprised. And this is, of course, not the, like, definitive date. They could totally move it back again. I was always real skeptical when I saw the release date was 2025. I was like, something tells me it's not.
I swear to God, though, they're going to end up... I bet you it's going to be, like, Bioshock Infinite for me.
Say,
like, all right, you're going to push it, so I'm going to have higher expectations. And so everything that I do in that game is going to be like, oh, this is kind of fun. It's not that fun. It's not extra year good.
Nope. Extra year good. I like it.
Yeah, that's a good point. Well, another thing, I guess, is because... So something I was reading about GTA 6 especially was like, well, because Rockstar took so much flack for... producing crunch on Red Dead 2. Like, they went into crunch time for like a year and it was like miserable, right? Well, people that now like us are more into the like the whole idea behind it. You know, we support studios, we support the people that work at those studios and stuff like that. The companies know that that stuff can't really be tolerated anymore. So I guess that's maybe one of the reasons stuff is taking longer, is because you can't put people in that type of crunch situation without facing...
I mean, they've known this since, like, 2011 with all the shit that happened with L.A. Noire.
Yeah. Well, they came in to save that game. That wasn't there to begin with.
No, it was there. It was Team Bondi, but Rockstar was always...
The publisher.
...involved with them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But then they had to take it under their actual studios to finish the game. Yeah, like I said, and they're still making so much bank off 5 and online that it's like...
There's no reason to rush it.
Why would we stop? Yeah.
Well, and I think they did the right thing by showing and letting everyone know that they were kind of working on it. What, they showed that map like 5 years ago and it just said 6 or whatever. It showed the roads look like a 6. And then they showed the trailer, last year? So it's not like Duke Nukem or... The Last Guardian that they show something and then 10 years later you finally get the game, you know?
And so many people had forgot about it.
Yeah. Except for this guy. Last Guardian was amazing.
Was it good?
I thought people didn't
I
thought the same thing.
I enjoyed every minute of it, but that's me just being a fan of that work, you know. So I enjoyed it.
I did start it because I also love that studio and those people that universe. But it was near the beginning, and the creature thing, knocked me off a cliff on accident.
Yeah.
And I was like, I'm done with this.
I'm not going to spoil it for you, but it's a theme in the game. It seems like it happens way more than it should. So, yes, there's a lot wrong with that game. But I still enjoyed it.
Like, it took me...
The Last Guardian, determined to kill you.
I was going to say, nowhere near as good as Shadow of the Colossus.
Yeah, no, not at all.
What about Ico?
No, still not. It's the third best in the series, but it's good. It looks good, but it doesn't play as well. It's clunky at times. Little simple things like, oh, I'm facing the direction. I want you to go forward. And this dog, bird, creature thing just decides it wants to do its own thing. Like, it Classic. It is frustrating. But also, I took my dog out for a walk before this podcast, and he did the same thing. So I'm like, oh, I get it. yeah, just doesn't listen. Come on, let's go back inside.
All right, Mike, what have you been playing?
Man, I have been all over the place since the last time. I think I started out after you were talking about House Flipper 2. I looked on Game Pass. They didn't have 2, but they did have the first one. Uh-huh. And so I played a bit of that. It was fun, except I quickly realized that although I like the menial tasks, yes, like the construction aspects, I hate the interior decorating aspect of it. It's so tedious, and they want you to do so much stuff. Like, there's this one house that I did where you have to decorate it for some Spanish holiday. I can't remember what it was. But you have to, like, decorate it with all these, like, festive things. Mm-hmm. And it's, like, hundreds of items that you have to put in these rooms. And it got to the point where I was, like, running out of space. And there's a lot of dumb stuff, too, where they want you to decorate walls with 2 different wallpapers. Yeah. And there'll be a quota on how much of each one, but you don't know until you experiment and you're like, okay, well, it doesn't make sense. It's got to be that wall now. So then you have to, like, go over it. So yeah, I became disenchanted with that. And then I went back to GTA 4 after I stopped on, like, the second to last mission.
Okay. Yeah.
Like, months ago. Whenever I last talked about it, what was, like, 6 months ago, maybe?
Yeah, it's been a while.
It was a while. But yeah, I randomly picked that back up, only to find that there's some freaking bug in the Xbox version where it's at the very last mission. If you go the revenge route, you're chasing Pegorino. Yeah. And, like, he's in this factory hold up, and you come and go after him, and he jumps on a boat, and so you get on a motorcycle, and you're riding through the coastline, and you get to this point where you have to hit a ramp to jump up on a helicopter.
Yeah.
Well, once you grab the helicopter, the freaking camera freaks the fuck out. And so I guess I can't beat the game because, like, it just keeps, every time you hit the button, the camera moves back and forth from the helicopter to the boat. Uh-huh. And so I'm just stuck. So I rage quit that game. Okay. And I've randomly been playing Super Mario Sunshine.
Okay.
All right.
I don't know. I got the Mario, the Super All-Stars or whatever, the 3D All-Stars.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Back whenever, because Nintendo had that limited run of it.
Yeah, I got it too.
And I played it for like 20 minutes and then put it down and forgot about it. But then I was like just in the mood for a Mario platformer. So I started playing Sunshine and oh my God, I've forgotten. One, the game's fun, but two, the controls in that game are so fucked. Like, they're so unforgiving. Everything is, I don't know, just the motion. I feel like they were trying to really figure out. Because, I mean, if you play Mario 64 after, like, the time we live in now, the main complaint is the fucking camera angles. Right. And this one, they're still trying to work out the camera angles. Like, they give you a lot more leeway since you had the C, mm-hmm, the joystick. Yeah. So you have control up to a certain point, but then they, for whatever reason, they feel like they have to take it back away from you in certain, like, tight quarters. So it'll randomly just like flip back at you, and that's a frustration. And then for it to be a 3D game, there's so many, like, everything is a pit that you fall and die into, and like the most frustrating platforming levels that I've ever played in a Mario game are in Sunshine.
I agree with that. I especially remember because I too got that collection and gave them all a whirl. I'm not the biggest fan of 64 personally. I liked Sunshine and I liked Galaxy. But yeah, I remember going through that and being like, wow, this is, they do snap the camera away from you and you are like always one missed jump away from a pit and having to start all the way over every time.
Yep.
No thanks.
God, one, every world has one level where, shit, what's his name? Baby Bowser, who is disguised as the Shadow Mario, he takes your water pack away, which is the only saving grace in that game for how tight the platforming is you at least have the leeway of being able to float in the air long enough for you to find your footing. But he takes it away, and then you have to go through these fucked levels where there will be like things moving and everything's going crazy. And
Yeah, they added it for
one step anywhere will lead to you falling.
They added it for difficulty on those. I remember that. And I'd be like, yep, I remember playing it several times up until like one of those first times would happen. And I'd be like, yeah, I'm not bothering with this. No, I'm done.
So would you rather like that approach or like the old arcade games or beat 'em up style games that you have to fight every boss all over again before you get to the final boss? Just kill me now at that point. You know, I'd rather fall down a cliff than fight all the bosses over again.
I'd rather fight all the bosses again. But I'm a fan of beat 'em up, so I'm more comfortable with that. I would say I'm used to that challenge. I'm used to the bosses showing up. I'm used to recolored sprites of bosses showing up as normal characters in later levels.
God, this game has. It's been a very long time since I've gotten so, like, boiling rage doing everything I can to not destroy a controller or my television or...
or the controller and the television by throwing the controller...
And I mean, there have been at least, three different occasions where I've had to stop myself and be like, this is a fucking game. If you can't control yourself, you need to move away from
it's
it.
It's supposed to be fun.
Yeah. Let's say, but I'm determined to, because I never beat it the first time that I went through it back in, like, a couple of years after it came out. So I'm determined to 100% this game, and I don't think it's going to happen.
Wow. Okay. I think it's
too hard.
I want to say I think that's the only one, like the mainline game, I don't think I ever beat it either. I've beaten all the other Marios, but...
I haven't... I'm excited to get through it because I never gave Galaxy a fair shake.
Really?
I think because Galaxy came out the same year as... Was it GTA 4? Even though GTA 4 came out that spring and Galaxy was around the holiday season, but it came out around the same time as so many other games that I played it for like maybe the first part of the game and then fell off and never got back to it. And it was cool, but it just, something about it, I wasn't in the mood to play it. And so it never, I don't know, it never stuck with me.
I got you. That was when I was in a period where I was only allowing myself to have one console at a time. So I had the Wii before I had the Xbox 360. So I was wondering, I was like, that's how I beat it first. And enjoyed it more. Yeah, I really like Galaxy. I know a lot of people like Galaxy 2 better than Galaxy, but I liked the first one a lot more. Okay.
But yeah, super, super excited to finally give that one a try.
Gotcha.
And then the freaking pre-order woes.
I was just about to bring it up. I'm glad you brought it up. So, Mr. I'm not going to pre-order the console. Pre-ordered the console.
I didn't say I wasn't going to pre-order.
Yes, you did. I have recordings of it. You're like, I'll wait a year.
I couldn't decide.
Like I did with the Switch. This is the guy who thinks he's waited a year for
No,
the
I
Switch.
Said I probably will get this one because I didn't. Because I did wait for the other one.
Yeah, I think I'm Team Mike on this one. I think he did say that because he was mentioning that he waited a year, but he's probably day one going to get it because we all said we weren't going to do it.
Yeah, because I've ended up playing the Switch more than any other system for this go around. So I like it enough that I'll support the new one. But man, was it a pain.
Okay.
And I don't know why I didn't think about other retailers. I just assumed. Because Best Buy was the first one that said, hey, we're taking pre-orders at this time. So they were the only one that I tried to pre-order from. And I stayed up until midnight, and they didn't go live until like 12:30. I had to get on Reddit to find other people complaining. And people were saying they got it from Walmart and Target. So I tried both of those. I was up until like 1:30, and I could get through the checkout at Target, but I kept using Apple Pay, and it would load forever, and then it would say payment failed. Yep. And I found out later that it was a flub with Apple Pay and Target specifically. Like they weren't talking to each other. So I could have done it by giving them my credit card, and I would have probably gotten a pre-order.
So, back in the days when it was the PlayStation 5 and the Xbox One, I got screwed over twice by Best Buy, and so I have resolved never to buy anything from them ever again. Because I literally would get to the point, have it in my cart, go to checkout, get charged, and then the next day the charge would be reversed.
Yep.
Whoa.
Because they were like, "Yep, we don't have it." I lost both an Xbox and a PlayStation to Best Buy. I never had any luck with Walmart. I never had any luck. I did try Target, and I never had any luck with it. And then eventually, like, GameStop. I got both of them through GameStop. And that's the one that's like, you would think, yeah, I'll just go down there and pre-order like you could in the olden days, but you can't do that anymore. I was going to say, JJ, did you also pre-order it?
I didn't. I was trying to help Mike out, and I was able to get in through Walmart, and then it kept giving me a weird spinning wheel, and then nope, and then not available. And then, I don't remember what happened after that.
That was like, what, a day or two after? No, I guess it was that day. But then on Saturday, I was going through Reddit, and somebody mentioned that they were, because on Friday they did the press release saying like they were trying to combat scalpers by going through the orders, and if they saw anything that made it seem like people got multiple units, they were canceling them and putting them back in inventory. So I was able to get one Saturday morning.
That's cool.
So we'll see. It's still showing as pending, and I kept getting notifications from my bank saying that it was a fraudulent charge. So I'm hoping that it actually goes through.
It should arrive next month. Is that correct? Is it June?
Yeah, June 5th.
It's so way too hard to buy a freaking console.
Yeah. Exactly.
It is. I don't understand why people can't just adopt the system where they're like, know well in advance, take people's orders then, and just fulfill as they go.
I mean,
go ahead, Josh.
No, go ahead. Go ahead.
I was going to say, it's because the scalper market, that was what caused the huge shift.
No, I know, but to combat scalping, that's what you do, is you make based on demand. So you're paying for the system up front, and once we make it, we send it to you.
Like they do that with records, things like that all the time. It seems like they can have a cycle. So say if Mike pre-ordered it like 8 months ago And he realized he was on wave 3 of the release. So he knows that he has one secured. It may be a month, 2 months, 3 months out. But at least he knows that he doesn't have to try to fight this crowd. Because that's frustrating for that 1 or 2 minutes that you're trying to log in. You're at checkout. I'm ready to give you my money. And then no. And it's not the manufacturer's fault. It's who you're trying to order it from.
Yeah. So I was going to say that was the other
thing. So essentially the way that you combat scalpers is anybody that wants one can pay for one. So they take as many orders as they need, and they're making based on that demand with there being so much time that they're not going to, the scalpers wouldn't be able to make any money.
Well, I guess there's a couple different things that could cause issues with that. You still have to look at it from the manufacturing side. Do you have the surplus of parts and stuff like that, or are you going to have to do a second run with them and with your parts manufacturers? Are their prices going to increase? Are they going to lose the ability to make something for a couple of months? I think the easiest thing, and it's something I am a huge proponent of, is you should be able to order directly from the manufacturer for a lot of things. But unfortunately, in this country, we have agreements with, you can't do that. That's why you can't order a car directly from a car factory. You have to order it through a dealership. Mm. And it's because of things like taxes and written agreements for you don't supply directly to the manufacturer. It keeps jobs is the idea. It makes jobs. You know, it's not like Nintendo can't take your order, ship it to you. They certainly can, but they have a agreement to first give their inventory to Target to turn around and sell because you're not buying it.
Well, and that's how
go ahead
Steam Deck does it, isn't it, Samantha? Like they take people's orders and then send them as they get them.
Yes. I don't know. I didn't buy it.
So then with that.
Oh, I thought you had them.
Skid got it for me.
Then why don't they, during the week where they're, or the month or the time period that they're hard, if they see people selling it for X amount of the price that eBay has the obligation to, we can't sell this because it's 3 or 4 times higher than the retail suggested price, you know? And I know that's not how scalping works, but it seems like they can stop that to just be like, no, these things are hard to come by. But I guess, no, you can't do that either. That doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, I was going to say, I could see.
Yeah, it would be nice if there was some kind of regulation.
Like, you know what?
On
you cannot sell
like
this
that.
For more than retail price. Like, I can see what you're saying. Yeah, then it would be like, well, that's kind of, anti.
Capitalism.
Yeah, it is. Because, you know, the old saying is something only costs as much as something someone is willing to pay for it.
Yeah.
So that's the idea. And then, you had spazzes. That would also kill the frickin' scalper market. If people were just like, you don't need the system right away. Do not pay 3 times its value to have it just for bragging rights. But people are stupid. As a stupid person myself, I can
or people
can
that
attest.
Can't say no to their children.
That's correct.
Yes. Yep. Or people that has about a tuition's worth of Night Trap gear.
Well, I guess all this talk about, you know, the Oblivion remake and how good it was going and stuff like that, I was like, you know what? I'm going to play Skyrim. So that's what I did. And boy, have I been enjoying it this time so much more than I have in my previous attempts to play it. And
yeah, you've been a really cool, how do you say it? Like a slow warming to that game.
It's
because you love Fallout, but whenever I told you I was playing it, you're like, I can't get into it. And we had the same issues. Like, we're just not as much into the fantasy style as like the space kind of stuff.
And I was like, I was wondering to myself, what is it this time that I'm enjoying it more, or allowing myself more? It's like, I think one is because I'm not trying to play it while it was still receiving all the hype it was receiving. I think that's making a big difference. And, you know, since there's like, I've seen Fallout 4 come out since then. I've seen, what was the space one? Why am I blanking?
Starfield.
Starfield.
Yeah, that's come out and I enjoyed playing that. I was like, now I can kind of go back into this and enjoy it a little bit more. And, you know, the fantasy world is still a little more difficult for me to get into, but I don't know. I'm just enjoying it a lot more. It's a lot more, I'm playing it a lot more relaxed, too. I'm not trying to, like, streamline stuff, and I'm not trying to put a couple hours. Like, I'll just pick it up and play it when I want to play it. And I think that's definitely made me enjoy it more. But I think it's also up against what it's always been up against, is when I would try to play that, something else would come out soon after that I knew I would probably put it down and then, just abandon it for a while. But luckily right now, the stuff that I'm looking forward to buying is games that I've played, you know, remastered or remade several times. So I don't have the like immediate need to feel like I need to play this game. Because I don't think there's anything like as far as a new release coming out that I'm interested in until like October or November at this point. So that's what I've been playing, Skyrim. It's fun.
So I did download Oblivion.
Okay.
And it's, I don't know. Skyrim was my first Elder Scrolls game.
Yeah, mine too.
And I think Skyrim did a way better job of pulling new players into that world.
Mm-hmm.
Or just more casual players. I was trying to explain it to Angela, like, Oblivion just feels like so much more of a nerdy game where Skyrim is like a more watered down fantasy game so that it's more applicable to a broader audience, if that makes sense. Like even stuff like the fonts that they use and just the aesthetics, it's a more distilled fantasy experience. So it's easier to get into it, I think.
So I'll ask this because I'm thinking back, it was really the first game that I played too. My younger brother had Morrowind
on the regular Xbox.
Is this another thing with Bethesda? Did they take over the Elder Scrolls, or were they always the producer for that?
No, I think that was always theirs.
Oh, because I was thinking, is this like a Fallout 3 kind of thing where, like, you know, if you ever see the games Fallout 1 and 2, they're top-down games.
Mm-hmm.
But 3 was so drastic.
Yeah, so they did buy the rights to Fallout.
Yeah, I know they
did. It was established with the first two. But no, the Elder Scrolls, I'm pretty sure that was always theirs.
That's what
I remember my cousin Jeffrey played this one a lot. He loved this one, but never really got into Skyrim, which always surprised me. But this, like, it looks good, and it definitely, you could tell that, like, it was shaping its way up to be like Skyrim. Like, there are a lot of similarities, but there are so many quality of life things that they added in Skyrim that I'm definitely missing in this game.
Sometimes it's hard.
So there's just a lot that makes it feels to me like, because I don't have any nostalgia for this game, it's not doing much for me.
I think that's a very interesting thing that happens sometimes, is that you get into these games that are remade or something like that, and you hear they're so good, but because you weren't there at the beginning, it's like, I can't get into this. I really can't.
Yeah, I mean, they seem to have done a really good job with it, and I mean, if you look at just screenshot comparisons of the game, that alone, like, I think my mind would be blown if I did grow up loving the original. But yeah, this is my first experience with the game, so it's just kind of meh. I'm sure it'll get better, because, I mean, those games usually do.
Yeah.
Like, once you really get involved in some of the storylines. So I'll still play it, but I don't think you were wrong to go back to Skyrim.
Good to know my choice has been...
I probably will, too.
All right, then. Anybody got anything else they played or want to talk about before we wrap this up?
Nope. Dreaming of pizza.
Okay.
Pizza.
Well,
pizza.
Since we're not going to keep Samantha from her pizza because, you know, there used to be a long time ago a fourth member of Fun Sphere that did get in the way of her pizza, and we don't talk about him anymore.
Oh, right. I was like, what?
I still don't
He's
know what you're talking about.
Yes, correct. Yes, that's
Hannibal.
Dangerous thing to do. All right, we'll say goodbye here, folks, since Mike just fucking derailed my joke. Thanks, pal. Appreciate it. All right. Goodbye.
Bye.
Goodbye here, folks.
Bye.